when Moses was looking into the burning bush, God said to him, remove the sandals, you're on holy ground. And when I heard that, I said, wow, that's amazing. So now I took my shoes off because I want to stand on holy ground. Because I want to be serious. I want to take this serious. And God shared a message with me so strongly that I went to Pastor Tim and I said, I got to preach. I got to do it, please, you know. And I shared it with him and he looked over it and here I am. So you know the rest of the story. So I'm going to talk about a few things tonight. Things you probably already know, some things you might have forgotten, some things you don't know. So let's get started. Can't pronounce this, so bear with me. How do you say it?
Which one? Hey
Guy? Yep. Hey Guy. Hey Guy, 2, 6, and 7. So I'll let you know when I read something out of the Bible, which type of Bible it is. This one happens to be the New International Version. I bounce around because I like simple stuff. So the New Living Version is great too. But this one just happened to be easy for me to understand. Verse 6 goes, this is what the Lord Almighty said. In a little while, I will be once more shaking the earth and shaking heaven, the seas and the dry lands. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declared the Lord Almighty. The glory of this presented house will be greater than the glory of the former house, said the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declare the Lord. See, I've been reading a lot of the Bible, and it's now becoming not a habit, but a way of life. And I see a lot of times he declares stuff. And I love when I read that part because that means something different to me. I'm like, declare, he declared that. It's like he's owning it. He's saying, this is what I did. And you know what he does for us? He declares us. We use God as an add-on. Nowadays, we don't use him as our foundation. You know, there's times where we forget to go to God until the last moment. Why isn't he the first moment? I fail all the time in this. Even simple stuff, like I got a headache. First thing you do, grab an aspirin. You know, then you go all day in pain because you think you've already took care of the problem. Say, God, can you take care of this for me? He wants to take care of everything for you. We learned Sunday he loves us. He's right there. He wants to show his love even for little things. You don't always have to run to him for the worst things happening in your life. He wants everything. So, anybody here know a scripture, like by heart? Any of them, just do you know scriptures? Some, I know all y'all probably do because, you know, you're the Wednesday night crew. And like I said originally, I said to someone, if you go to Wednesday night service, you're more likely going to heaven. Yeah. It's just how I feel. But you know what? There's some people in here, you know, That they might agree to that. I kind of feel that way. You know, God honors you. You take your time out through the week. But here's a scripture that some of y'all probably know. John 11:35. Anybody know that one besides Pastor Tim? Just kidding. He might not know this one. You don't? I'll tell you what it is. We can all memorize this one. It's real easy. John 11:35. You don't look it up because it's going to be over before you get there. Jesus wept. And I'm going to tell you what about that? Well, that's first. You can remember it. But I'll tell you the reason why he cried. Does anyone know? Yes, he was sad because of the passing of his good friend, Lazarus. Now, he was crying, just like Mary and them were crying. And he didn't look at them and says, you better stop crying. I'll give you something to cry about. He didn't say that. He cried with them. And you know what? He cries with us. We go through things, storms. It's a big popular topic that we've been going through lately, and definitely in my life. I've cried. He's been crying right there with me. See, he knows what you're going through because he loves you. He shares that feeling. And you know who else had a sad moment in his life? God. He lost his son. We all know what happened there, and it's coming up. God feels pain too. He did something for us. As we learned Sunday, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our sins, that we, our stuff. Jesus didn't do anything wrong, but he took it so we can have eternal life. So I know you've been crying, and that's what happens. We all cry, and that's all right. But God wants you to know, stop crying. It's coming. What's coming? God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. Some days it's hard. I get it. But we got to keep moving. We got to keep looking up. We got to praise God through everything, good, bad, whatever it is you're going through. So if you need to, you need to turn to God. You need to tune yourself to God. So if you're feeling his love, that's great. I feel his love all the time. It happens. And he shows it in different ways you don't even know. Sometimes you're like, oh, wow, that's awesome. God will show how he loves you. If you're reading the Bible, sometimes you'll go, you know, you're having a bad day, and I find myself just opening the book and not even worrying about where I'm going. I go, oh, right here. And I just start reading, and then I go, oh, wow. He starts talking to me and sharing something. And I'm like, that's amazing. Has anyone had that experience? I see a couple hands. It happens. See, you need to turn to God in any situation. Romans 8:28 tells you to do that. We all know that one. Does everyone? Yep. And we'll get to that. So I, myself, have been in tune with God lately, and it's amazing because I keep finding stuff, and God, it's crazy. I keep finding God in things that don't even belong there, and that's why I brought this tonight. It's a ukulele. Does anyone ever heard a ukulele before besides Tiny Tim? Not that Tim? That's correct. Because that's the only joke I've ever heard when it comes to the ukulele. He was very scary, but he sure could play, and he had some nice hair. So, it's off tune. Here I am talking about being in tune. So, let me fix that. There we go. Perfect. Sometimes when you're a little off tune, you could do it just like that if you think, if you pray. But we'll get to that in a minute. This is what I heard. And I was like, that's amazing. I love it. And I only changed one word. And if you know it, you could sing along because you might after I sing it. So no one told me life was gonna be this way. Thank you. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your life is DOA. You're always stuck in second gear. It may have not been your day, your week, or even your year. But God will be there for you, like he's been there before. God will be there for you. When you know. So anyway, you get the point. That's what I'm saying. So can you hold this for a second? Yeah. I didn't want to be carrying that around with me. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Jonathan offered to hold it for me. Now, I want you to know the reason that I can smile through my storms is because I have God on Monday. I have God on Tuesday. He's also with me on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's the days I get filled up. I'm at home. I'm reading my Bible. I'm watching preachers on TV. I'm listening to worship music. I spend my time in the prayer closet. Anybody got a prayer closet? If you don't, you need to find one because they're really good. I love them. It's a good place to just give your heart to God, worship him. I don't know. I find myself the more and more I do it, the more and more it lasts longer and longer. I go, oh, wow, it's been 2 hours. Oh, wow, I've been spending a lot of time with God today. I didn't realize it. And next thing I know, that becomes not a habit, but a way of life. So I bet you're noticing something. I didn't mention Wednesday or Sunday. Yeah, I noticed that. I'm glad you did. Thank you for saying that.
Stan was like, wait a minute.
I did. I heard him. Well, not with his headphones on. But what I notice is That's the days that I'm coming into this place, filled up, and I'm standing up there playing, trying to give it back. But I'm also getting filled up again. I'm constantly getting filled up. It's always running over. Now, I'm not saying every day is perfect for me, because it's not. I'm not saying every day that I don't have emotions that I have to fight off, or thoughts from the devil that are coming at me. We all have those days, but if you stay connected with God, in tune with God, those days are a lot easier to fight. You're not alone. But when you don't have God in those moments, you start feeling weak, because the devil will start throwing thoughts at you. And then those thoughts will just start growing and growing. If you had God, they can't grow because God's there to protect you. So we are commanded to fellowship. Like that's what he wants us to do. So when we come to church, we should fellowship, share God with the ones who aren't here on Wednesdays, or let them know how cool Wednesday is. Anyway, so we should definitely say what? I do like Wednesdays. But anyway,
Yes, sir.
I love coming to Wednesdays because we do different things. I call the prayer nights that we do here like prayer games. It's fun. I had never said that out loud, but it's fun to pray. We do up here, we'll pray for people. I enjoy praying for people. It's something that I want to do. It's, you know, anybody could do it. You don't have to be really good at it either. You could just try your best. God listens. He's not going to be upset if you give him a 5-minute prayer or a 20-minute prayer. It's just pray to him. He wants to hear from you. He's sitting there going, I hope I hear from Jay today. I hope he has something nice to say to me. He's sitting there waiting for you. And you're too busy. That's what he would say to me. You're too busy doing this. You're too busy doing that. Well, now I'm not too busy for him because I'm trying my best to talk to him. I want more. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that's what I've been hearing lately. More, 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 more. I can't get enough. I mean, that's how it is. Okay. I grew up in church since I was 5 years old. I had lessons that I learned from children's church that are still here in my heart, scriptures and things that I learned. I was a witness on the bus to kids. I would like tell them, hey, you need to come to church. I'm like 5 and 6 years old doing this. I'm praying on people as a child, and they're getting healed. Like, God was doing stuff with me even back then, and it was amazing, and I knew God then. But when you grow up, you have life that hits you, and then you forget what God really did for you sometimes. I mean, you all had God do something amazing for you, but you forgot. It happens. We get life that just kind of, like, takes us down sometimes. But that's okay. Because I've been told my whole life I need to grow up. Well, maybe I'm glad I didn't, because I have a childlike faith. I still pray like that child. I still worship God like that child. I am his child. Oh, yeah, I might as well get that ukulele. I do have another song. Thank you. So, the other night, we were doing feet washing, what, last week, wasn't it? Feels like it was just a year ago. But I had the honor to wash someone's feet in this building tonight, and I was so privileged to do that, and humble, to be honest with you. It was amazing, and I enjoyed it, and I will never forget it. I don't remember his name, though, but anyway, just kidding. But there we go. The thing about that was we learned something that night. I did. I've never done that before. I learned that you have to be in tune with God. That kind of came to me after doing that. Washing the feet, that's just the step. You need your whole body. Not that it needs to be washed, because we already know that. But you need to have your mind right, your heart. Everything needs to connect. Because when you're connected with God, you can't fail. If God's on your side, there's nothing that can fight you that is going to win. So one of my favorite songs is Open Your Eyes, Your Heart, Lord. And I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. Uh-oh, what happened? That's funny. I guess I went through that whole week. Monday, I went to work, and I heard some dirty jokes, and I laughed, but I didn't say anything. That's okay. I can still go to church and play. Uh-oh. No, I can't. What's happened to me? Maybe Tuesday, when I said that cuss word, but didn't ask God to forgive me. Maybe that's what it was. Let me see if that's what it was. oh no, I'm out of tune. Maybe I need to spend some time with God. Maybe I need to pray right now. Maybe I need to worship him. Maybe I need to fix this, which I'm getting ready to. So it's important to be in tune with God because you never know when God needs you. What if you're at Walmart and someone needs your help and God tells you to do something, but you're not in tune because you're not listening? You're not hearing him. Maybe it's not just Sunday and Wednesday that you have to do stuff for the Lord. You have to do it all week. You know, so we should go out there, witness on Mondays, Tuesdays, and get filled up. That's why it's important to have God with you all the time. So you want to be in tune. Man, you really tuned this bad boy up. I said, Jonathan, would you mind making this, you know, just mess with it a little bit? For, and now I think you mess with it so much that I might have to forget this part. Nope, we're going to forget it. So anyway. That was close. I told him I didn't want him to do it too much because I didn't want to... But you need to stay focused. Like, see, I'm out of focus, but we're going to... That's really cool. He's doing it like that. But see, the thing is like, I find myself at my job, I take as much time as I can to witness. I think you fixed it.
No,
that's the only one, yeah. That's it. You're really good. Thank you, sir. Now, so when I was washing his feet, I ran out of things to say, to be honest. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. And then I just started singing. And what I sung was, open your eyes, your heart, Lord. But I sung the part at the end, which is holy, 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 because I know that is one of the highest praises you can give God. And at that moment, I just wanted to show God praise for that moment. You know, it's not every day that you get to honor one of the people who teaches you about God, and I got to do that to your feet. That to me was so amazing. I know I've shared that with you in a text message, but I'm humble. Like, you have no idea. I was sitting there going, please pick me, please pick me. And then I looked at you and you went, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Because that's I didn't want anybody else's feet. I'm sorry. And I just wanted his. I definitely didn't want yours. And I didn't even care. I just had to get to you because in my mind that was a feat that I needed to. And you know what? You picked me, so maybe it was. That's how he wanted it. So, I love this song. It's from the 90s, and this is in tune. See, when you have someone who's in tune, they can help you. That worked out. So, like I said, God helped us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see you. I wanna see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Sing it again. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. That's the attitude we need to have. I want to see you. I want to see God. I pray to him sometimes and I'm like, Lord, please let me just sit in front of you. Because there was one night I was being prayed on. I was right about here. And I wasn't even being touched but I just felt God's presence. And he showed me a vision of me dancing in front of him, in front of his giant throne. Now, it was so beautiful. And it was just a glimpse, like that. It was there and gone in a second. And I just think about that moment all the time because I want to get back to that place. And so when I praise God, I sometimes feel like I'm there. I can't see it, but I have that feeling, and I know that feeling. And when you have God in your life, you know that feeling. Jeremiah 14:29. Well, this is Jeremiah 14. I don't know. I'm just going to say 13. So anyway, Jeremiah, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's what it says. It's just like Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's another verse that talks about seeking him. This one talks about do it with your whole heart. You know, let's see what 14 says. I will be found by you. That's amazing right there. He's already saying, if you seek me, you will find me. Say the Lord, I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. What I like about this is I strayed away from God and went off and chose what I wanted my blessing to be. You know what's sad about that is? God can't give you the blessing he wants to give you if you pick a blessing that is not the one he wants. So I chose to get married. And I spent 7 years in prison. Felt like prison. It was horrible. And a lot of you know my story, and I'm not going to share it right now because it would take forever. But it felt like forever. And when I got out of that relationship, God was able to restore my life. And look where I am now, somewhere I never even knew I would be. I didn't know about this church. October 22nd, 2023, I was wearing this outfit, sitting in that back row, listening to this man preach. He said the words, the apostles had the same power as Jesus. I said, Lord. I didn't even know him at this point. I said, Lord, if that is true, heal me. Just like that he did. No one touched me. Some people think you have to be touched to be healed. The woman with the issue of blood did it herself. She reached out, and through God and through Jesus' power, she healed herself. Now, I'm not saying that can happen for everyone, but it happened for me. So I had enough belief in that moment. She had enough belief in that moment. It even says by her belief. So we have to believe. We have to honor God. And sometimes God chooses how he wants to do things. So I got lucky because God chose me in that moment to heal me. And, you know, I'm blessed. You know, that's what happened there. But I'm not even reading my notes anymore, by the way. I'm just going. So when God saves you, he doesn't make it where you're never going to fail again. We're all going to fail. He makes it where your sin doesn't feel good anymore. Anybody understand what that feels like? I know I do. When he saved me after that moment, after the 22nd, all the sin that I was doing, even when I didn't think it was that bad, I made excuses for me allowed to play scratch-offs. I thought, it's okay. It's the beginning of my paycheck. It's not the end where I'm gambling away my money. So I still had money to pay for everything, and I just said, it's a game. It's okay. No, it wasn't. I felt guilty about it. I left here one night, sat in the parking lot at Royal Farms and said, Lord, I know it's wrong. Take it away from me. I walked into the store and I saw a man playing scratch-offs at a machine where you get it out like a vending machine. What did I do? I was watching him. He got $20, scratched it, threw it in the trash, got another $20 ticket, scratched it, threw it in the trash. He did this 4 times. I saw $80 get thrown in the trash like that. He had a green shirt on, khaki pants like I got, long, greasy black hair, and a beard and glasses. He looked like a gremlin. God said, that's what you look like, a gremlin, a greedy old gremlin. I felt sick to my stomach, and I ran from that machine like probably any y'all would have done if something like that happened. I felt ashamed, and I got out of there, and I haven't touched that machine since, and I don't have the desire to. I don't want to sin anymore. Because God was picking off my sins left and right. He says, no, son, I'm changing you. I got work for you to do. You're doing something for me now. You've had your time. It's my time. God said, I'm now his. He saved me through Jesus' blood, and I am now free. So I thank you, God, for that, because now I'm here to honor you and serve you. That's what we're here for, to serve him, to honor him, to witness. Let's get people in this church. Let's invite people. Let's invite them to any church. It doesn't matter where. Let's just get them saved. That's all that matters. 1 Timothy 1:15. Now, I want to start with this because I'm like all over my notes. And I think I'm only on page 2. I don't even know how much time I got left. Oh, okay. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Who loves Paul? I love Paul. Paul is one of my favorites. Did y'all know that he wrote about 1/3 of the New Testament? That's amazing. God trusted him with that much, to share that much of his word. So here's one. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is in the New Living Testament. This is trustworthy saying. So right away, he's saying, this is some good word. Everyone should accept it. Jesus Christ comes into the world to save sinners. And he goes, I am the worst of them. I just shared your story about one of my sins. I felt horrible. I felt like the worst of them. You know, Paul did a lot of things that were bad to Christians. He murdered them. He felt guilty about that. But he's saying he was the worst one of them. Well, let's find out what he said next. But God had mercy on me. God has mercy on all of us. So that Jesus Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience with the worst sinners. And then others will realize that too, that they can believe and have eternal life. It says it right there. That even though he did wrong, God forgave him, showed him mercy, and now he's out there doing what he can for the Lord. It's an example of what I want to do. Even though I didn't do horrible sins, I did a sin, but all sin are the same. It doesn't matter. God does not look at my gambling and his murder as two different ones. Well, his murder, it's because he killed people, so that's got to be worse. No, it's worse. Lying. Let me give you an example. This lady ordered a pizza, and I forgot to put extra cheese on it. And I go, here's your pizza. Oh, by the way, I put the extra cheese on the bottom of the pepperonis and felt real guilty about that when she walked out the door because I lied. It happens. We all do things like that. And that happened like 2 weeks ago. And I've been coming to church here for a while, so I should have known better. But I didn't want to go make another pizza. I didn't want to waste her time, and I didn't want to admit I did something wrong. Sometimes we have to admit when we do something wrong, especially to God. That's how you know. Here's something. Jesus lives in our hearts, doesn't he? To be a Christian, I think you need Jesus living in your heart. That's a choice you have to make, you know. You have to allow Jesus to live in your heart. But even having Jesus in your heart, what type of home does he have? Anybody want to talk about that? I do. Let's talk about what type of home Jesus has in your heart. Let's start with the cardboard box. So, a cardboard box to me represents someone who doesn't have Jesus in their heart, or they do and they backslid and they gave up and they returned to the wicked ways. Jesus has no place to live. Just a cardboard box, which means that person's never going to hear from Jesus. They're never going to know how much he really loves them. So let's move it up a step. Let's say you give Jesus a trailer. In your heart, I live in a trailer, so I'm not going to talk bad about it. But let's say the size of the house you give Jesus is a trailer. So you give him a place to live, but it's not that protected. And the devil can just sneak in and get you because that's what he does. He's a thief in the night, am I right? So you're really not giving Jesus a good place to live. But that's okay. Let's talk about a two-story home. It's better. There's definitely got to be a better place for him there, right? You would think. You got anti-theft system. Maybe you got a dog in the house. You know, your kids are yelling and screaming upstairs. I mean, I know that's what it sounded like when I had lived with kids. I know. But even then, you can still get robbed. The devil still can come in and get you. But let me tell you about this last house. It's a mansion. Do you want Jesus to live in a trailer, or do you want him to live in a mansion? I tell you, I want him to live in a mansion, and I hope that I have given him a mansion to live in, because in a mansion, there's a fence around it. You can have armed guards. You can have butlers. Everything you need is taken care of. Well, when you have Jesus in your life, and you truly have sacrificed everything to him, everything your needs are taken care of. You're protected. The devil can't get you. The devil is what? I love that, by the way. I hear my friends say that all the time. In my head, when I say it to myself, I still hear your voice. So, when you need to be saved by something, that's the point where you're not able to do it yourself. That's what I think the word save means. Someone is rescuing you and you. And that's what God does with his love, his mercy, his grace. The word save means someone is rescuing you. God has to rescue you. You have to sacrifice 100% of you. It's hard. I get it. But when you make that first step, oh, it's so beautiful, because then God can really work with you. I made that first step back there when I said, then go ahead and heal me. I tested him, and boy, did he show up. And he said, boom. And then my mind went, oh, wow, this is real? That's what I said to myself. This is real? I've been living in church since I was 5 years old. I knew God. I knew of him. I worked for God. I say work, but you know what I mean. I served God. I played piano in children's church. I played saxophone. I did children's church. I did summer camp. I did all kinds of ministries for God. Sung in a black gospel group, yes. And through all the things that I did, I didn't have a relationship with God. And I was so ashamed one night sitting here during prayer. It was a Wednesday night. By the way, I love Wednesday nights, if y'all haven't figured that out yet, because it's my night. It's like the night for us. You know, Sunday night or Sunday day people don't even know how much fun we're having on Wednesday nights. And I hope they show up. And you know what? I might get more people to come. If they could just find out what we're doing here, we're just going to have a Wednesday night on a Sunday morning. Am I right? Let's try to do that. No offense. Your preaching is great, by the way. Sunday, you were really good. Good. I just want this atmosphere is what I mean. So, it's that simple.
We can just kick everyone else out.
Oh, yeah. Y'all want to do that? In favor of that, say aye. Just kidding. Okay. Our sins separate us from the Lord. Did y'all know that? See, when I was talking about you need to be tuned with the Lord, it's like that old radio. Anybody remember that old radio that if you just tune it, you need to get that station in? Some of y'all young people don't know what I'm talking about back there. So let me, it's kind of like an iPad. So anyway, you turn it. You turn it, right? And sometimes you still get that station, but you still get that static. So sometimes you can hear from God, and then sometimes you got that static. In our lives, we need to tune up just a little more. Maybe you need a little more prayer. Maybe you need a little more worship. Maybe you don't need to do anything else. Maybe you can hear from God. I don't know your walk. I know my walk, and I'm always trying to tune. I can never tune perfectly because there's always something there. But I'm trying. God knows my heart. I feel like I'm never good enough for God. And he knows where I stand with that. I'm like, Lord, I'm not worthy of you, because I don't deserve what he did. You don't understand how much time I wasted. I still feel bad about that. I spent so much time in his presence and not knowing his presence. And that upsets me. But I'm going to make up for it, and I'm trying. That's probably why I want more. Thank you. I'm glad you're up here, because you're about to be in my notes in a minute. I'm pretty sure you're in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think I wrote about you. Oh. I'm talking about Jonathan for the ones who are listening on the podcast. He just came up and hugged me. He's a great person. So you know, if you sacrifice 100% of you, God can use 100% of you. It's math. It makes sense, right? You're under an attack. It's not an ambush. See, Peter says the devil roars like a lion. Let me hear y'all roar like a lion. That scared me. See, he gives you a warning when he's coming. I think that's only sometimes, because sometimes the warning you don't hear. Sometimes when the devil's coming, you don't hear that warning because you're not tuned. But that's okay. What would you think you should do when you see a lion right here in your face, or Jonathan doing what he just did? Well, let's talk about that. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him and stand firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is under the same kind of suffering. Churches everywhere are under attack right now. And that's what that tells me. I don't know if y'all notice it, but there's things going on in this world right now that are not good, and it's crazy stuff left and right. There's one thing after another. Churches, people are, you know, it's amazing that these things are happening, and we're just looking at it like, oh, it's normal. No, it's not normal. It's a sign. There's things happening right now in front of us. You know, 2020 was a crazy year, wasn't it? But now it's normal to wear a mask. If you saw that in 1998, you wouldn't have laughed. You thought it was weird. But that's okay. Let's hear what else happens. So, First Peter 5, 6 goes, humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you in due time. Does that mean he's going to do it when you want it to? Nope. It's going to be due time. It's going to be when God's time. I'm glad God's plan works, because when I look at my own plans, it makes me feel bad, because God has better plans than I do. It makes mine look weak. I can't live without God. Have anybody tried to live without God? I'm never going to do that again. It didn't work. I made enough mistakes in my life. I'd rather make mistakes and he's be there with me. At least say, hey, man, come on, you know better. I know that I've been asked, you know, God said to me, hey, you want to be a Wednesday, Sunday person? That was told to me a couple months ago. Remember that, Stan? Stan, he reminded me because God told him. I'm sorry if that's stepping over a line. But I don't mind sharing that, because God sometimes will tell you something. And that's something I needed to hear. It wasn't that I was slipping, but I was going to, because I saw it coming. After he said that, I was like, yep, I can see myself not wanting to read the Bible anymore. I don't see myself getting off work going, yay, I get to read the Bible. No one does that. I do now. I get excited to read the Bible. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. It's just like smoking cigarettes. You take the first puff, you're not hooked automatically. You have to keep smoking. Now, I'm not promoting that. But what I'm suggesting is the Bible is like a habit. You have to make it something that you enjoy, and you have to keep doing it. I know reading is hard, but there's other ways to do it. You can do audiobooks. I mean, if you can't sit and watch a preacher for an hour, then watch one of the 5-minute reels. And then when that becomes easy to do, then jump to 15 minutes, then jump to a half an hour, and then watch an hour. I can watch 2 hours now. I'm bragging about Jesus. And then some days I don't want to do it, so I will admit that as well. See, Jeremiah 9, 1-7, I want to read this, and I like this. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. So you could take the word young and say I'm not too old. You could say I'm too scared, or I'm too whatever. Whatever you want to put in that, go ahead and put it in there. And say, he says, you must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. So we already know that we have work to do. We have to go out and witness. We have to share God's, you know, God's plan, which was Jesus, for us to live in our hearts. So we have to share that. And let's see what it says. Do not be afraid of them. Afraid of who? How about don't be afraid of the devil? He can't get you. If God's with you, who's against you? You know, it says don't be afraid of other people. Well, they're just people, just like you and I. They probably don't know how great Jesus is if we don't tell them. Let's tell them. Let's get some Jesus out there. Let's not be afraid to say his name. Why did they make it so hard for us? You know why? Because they know it's real. The ones who fight against it know it's real. But then, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declare the Lord. There's that word again. I told you it keeps popping up, declare the Lord. The Lord is saying something there. Let's go 9. Then the Lord reaches his hand and touches my mouth and says to me, I put words in your mouth. I believe this is where we're supposed to witness to others. So I must have already said that like 100 times, but I'm reading what I wrote there, so I guess I didn't know I was going to get to it. But that's okay. See, here's something again. My boy Peter, I love, Peter is one of my other favorite heroes in the Bible. I've been watching The Chosen, and I just love his personality. And I know The Chosen is not the Bible. I'm aware of that. But what I like about it is when I'm reading the Bible, I see the characters from The Chosen. It makes it more real for me because my mind goes everywhere. I'm surprised I'm not running around while I'm preaching, but I'm trying to focus. So I didn't know what type of preacher I was going to be, or teacher. I claim to be a teacher. I don't want to say preacher because I'm teaching. You're the preacher. And you went through school. All I did was just listen to you preach. That didn't make me a preacher, did it? I'm talking to Tim. Yes? You know what? I asked you, let's say, 1 month into coming on a Wednesday night, and I said, hey, can you have two callings? Remember that? And you were like, I don't know. I said, I really don't know what my calling is. And then I was told, oh, worship is your calling. But I was like, what does that mean? Because I love to worship. I love worshiping. I listen to worship music. I don't like any other type of music except worship at DC Talk. Don't make fun of me. I love DC Talk. They are so great. What if I stumble? What if I fall? Hits me every time. In the Light, that's another one I love. They're my two favorites. I listen to them on loop. Half the time, I can't stop singing the song in my head. Another one, there's a song, You Have No Rival. It's just part of a song, and I keep saying it in my head all the time. You have no rival. You have no rival. God has no rival. And that's in my heart, because it has to be if I keep singing it in my head. I know what song that's from, but it's great.
What a beautiful name.
Yep, I love that song. You know, I was standing there playing that, and you said, uh-oh, we're about to lose the piano player. I got drunk in the spirit on that song. I love that song. And I also love Waymaker. We did both of them back to back. So it was a 1-2 punch in the, I was like, I'm out. I love that. I've seen quite a few get drunk in the spirit on a Wednesday night and Sunday. It can happen anytime. I've been drunk in the spirit on a Tuesday evening in my bedroom. It can happen anywhere. God will meet you wherever you are. Wow.
And I was like, I think you need to check my blood pressure when we get home, babe. And then later I was like, oh, no, never mind.
It was just Jesus. Matthew 33:14. Oh, no, I don't know why I wrote it like that, so let's pretend like I didn't. So it must be Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the strong winds. You know what? I forgot to read this part. Y'all remember when Peter was walking on the water? Yeah. Well, he was walking towards Jesus, and he almost got there. He almost got there. I believe he was so close. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We get so close, and then we fall. Because we're going through something, we do get too close to Jesus, and then we slip, and we fall. Depending on your situation, of course. But when the wind, he saw the strong winds and waves, and he was terrified and began to sink. He began to sink. He didn't sink. Begin to sink. Just like us, sometimes we begin to fail. We may not fail. We may not even, that temptation may not even get you. But sometimes it does, and that's okay. God has mercy and grace because he loves you. God loves you. You can always remember. If there's nothing else tonight you don't remember, I say, besides the ukulele and how funny that was, remember God loves you. Because that is the most important thing. Because no matter how you fail or what you do wrong, he will forgive you. And he said, as he was sinking, save me, Lord. He shouted it. He screamed it. I know sometimes when I'm going through troubles, that's all I could do is just say, save me. I can't do it anymore. I need your help. And then this is what Jesus did in verse 31. Jesus immediately reached his hand and grabbed him. I got you. He grabbed him. And then what did he say? You have so little faith, said the Lord. Why do you doubt me? He doubted him. And he got to see him do so many amazing things. He was walking on water with him. I don't know about you guys, but if I was walking on water and Jesus was there, I don't think I would have fell. But that's saying I'm not perfect either, because I'm not, because I don't know what he was going through in that moment, what he was thinking. So we can all say, I could have done this or I would have done that, but you don't know, because we all have fallen and we've all made mistakes. I believe that that happens to us sometimes. Apparently, I was already thinking that before I said it. We get close to God, and then one little thing happens, and we freak out. God should be our weatherman. Now, a lot of y'all might follow me on Facebook, and I've already said this, so I'll make it simple. Because if he's our weatherman, he's telling us it's going to be sunny out. He's telling us it's going to be okay. But then when we hear rain falling on the roof, we start freaking out and thinking it's a thunderstorm. When all it is a little bit of rain, and you know what you got to do when it's raining outside? Get your umbrella, and just you'll be fine. You got that umbrella, and everybody know what that umbrella is? The Bible. Just get that Bible, start reading it. It'll answer some of your questions. It'll calm you down. If that doesn't work, put your hands up. That's what I do when I got nothing else. I just say, Lord, I reach and I'm trying to grab them. My hands can't get any higher. If you think that's funny, you should see me trying to speak in tongues. My tongue is going everywhere, but nothing's happening, but it will. It will. One day, I'm going to speak in tongues, and it's going to be great. Not yet. In life, we... Well... I don't know yet. Anyway, in life, we do not have little faith the minute something happens. Sometimes it depends on what our faith are. We have to be prepared, like I was saying earlier. Our faith will just go right out the window when something happens. We forget to do stuff. We forget to pray. We start having doubt. We start thinking things. We start believing the lies. The devil tells us lies like, here's a good one. You're not good enough. Anybody ever heard that in their head? You're not good enough. That's what the devil wants you to believe. How about this one? Nobody likes you. That church you're going to, Jay, the new people there, they don't like you. They're talking about you when you're gone. You know what? That stand guy, I don't think he likes you. These are some of the lies I heard when I first started coming here. How about this one? You're ugly. That's a lie I've heard a lot in my life. I hear it all the time. Look in the mirror. You're ugly, Jay. No one likes you and you're ugly. That's what the devil wanted me to believe, and I believed it. For so long. Everyone is laughing at you. And that's one. You're better off dead. I heard that. January 20th, 2021. Standing in my kitchen with my wife and I arguing. And that lie popped up in my head. You're better off dead. And I believed it. And I tried. I tried to kill myself. Grabbed the knife. Went right in, as hard as I could. It was not a regular knife. It was the one you cut bread with. Out of all the options, I grabbed the wrong one. And you know what the percentage of that is? 1 out of 8. 1 out of 8. It means I should have been dead. But I'm standing here. And you know why? Because God wasn't done with me yet. Remember this last time you tried something and failed? That's what the devil wants to bring back, your failures. God wants to remind you when you did something good. Here's the one that the devil tries on everybody, and when he gets you to believe it, the devil knows he won. God's not real. He wants you to believe that. You know why? Because he's scared. If he can get you to believe the devil's not real, then he knows that you're not going to turn to him. What? Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. Flip it and reverse it. I meant to say, he wants you to believe that God's not real. That's what the devil wants. Thank you. I got a little tongue-tied. See what the devil wanted? The devil wants me to say that. When you allow God to give you thoughts, this is very important, that's when your hope comes from. See, I learned something recently about hope. Hope is the opposite of lies. If you believe hope, you're not going to believe the lie. If you believe a lie, you're not going to have hope. Lies kill hope, and hope kills lies. It's that simple. But God destroys lies because he will prove he's real. He will prove it to you. He did to me. I was sitting back there, and I believe. I know all y'all believe. There's a lot of believers in here tonight. A lot of people going to heaven because it's Wednesday, right? Y'all remember that? I believe it. I'm going to tell those Sunday people you're missing something. See, he loves us. He loves to make us happy. That's what God wants. He just wants us happy. You know what the devil wants? He wants us to feel miserable. Anybody felt like they didn't want to come tonight? Let's be honest. Yeah, are you glad you're here? I appreciate it. But I know God does too. You know the night that Uncle Anthony came? We had that really nice time. I was sitting over there. You were sitting over there beside me. And I didn't want to come. I didn't want to be here. And boy, did he have something good to say to me and all of us. And we all prayed. And I got to pray with you again. I love you. I love my pastor. What's wrong with that? He's a great man. He deserves it. If y'all don't love him, tell him after church. If you don't get to say it to him, you know what I mean. That's what I meant. If you don't love him, tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. I'm dyslexic. I can't help it. I'm reading my notes backwards. Here's a word that I'm going to say it wrong. Ecclesiastics. Did I say it right? I can't read. 10, 9, and 4. Here's something I really like, and this has something to do with you. No, you don't have to come over here. You can be wherever you want because that's what you do, buddy. You just all over the place, but you're taking care of business. You're making sure I sounded good, right? Is that what it was?
Well, that and I got a song
for that. Awesome. Verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other successfully.
Succeed.
Whatever. If one person falls, the other can reach his hand out. But if someone falls alone, they're in real trouble. That means we need to be together. We need to be friends. I don't know about you guys, but you came over here at the right time. Because I don't have you in here yet. But you're in my notes somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and do it now. This guy right here is a real friend of mine. I love him. And we all know how I feel about the pastor. I love this guy too. This guy calls me up and checks on me all the time. Hey, how are you doing? How's your day? I call and check up on him too. We need each other. I need all of you.
Now let's share a little something.
What? Go ahead.
I was not feeling good the other day, and Jay texted me, and right on time. So I called him, and I was like, buddy, I need some prayer. He prayed for me.
Right on the
I'm
phone.
I'm at work. On the phone, on Bluetooth. He prayed for me. Not even 10 minutes later, I'm not feeling that way anymore.
That's God. That wasn't me. That wasn't him. That was God. But see what happens when you pray? See what happens when, I just read it, two people are better off than one. They can help each other. And what was that word?
Succeed. I got you, buddy.
You do. So if I were to fall, I know he's going to catch me. See?
Hey, you know you're going to do that. I will catch you.
I tried. No. For the people listening at home, I almost fell back and fell and hit my head. Anyway. We didn't talk about that. I thought about that earlier, but everyone's seen someone do a trust fall, so I didn't have to do that. I don't like them either because I don't.
No. I also don't like to be a catcher at a church. Just sit down. I'm tired. My legs hurt. I'm not a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Just sit down.
You heard him. Just sit down.
I got you.
Oh,
you're a paperweight. I got you.
He wants me to do it so bad that I have to do it now. Just kidding. I was going to go here. See? He got me.
Dude, all you got to do is just let it go.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do.
Let it go.
The cold never bothered me anyway. When Peter was sinking, he was close enough to Jesus to reach out, and Jesus picked him up. The problem is sometimes we're not close enough to God for him to reach us. So here's the cool part about that. If I'm over here and God is over there, he can get me. If I'm back there and God's here, he can still get me. If I'm all the way over in England, hello, mate, he can get me. If I'm all the way in Australia, not doing that one, he can get me.
You're a British one.
Good day, mate.
See, that's definitely Australia.
Oi, I don't know it. I can't believe it. It's might be, I'm not sure. What's so funny? I don't get it. Crikey. Okay, see, now I can do Mickey Mouse. Anyway, so the point I'm getting at is no matter where you are, Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost. See, I talk about all three because, yes, they're three different people, but they're also one person. But to me, Jesus is my homie. High five to Jesus. I high five him all the time in my bedroom. High five, Jesus. Holy Ghost comforts me, holds me, tells me everything's going to be okay. God tells me in my head, God protects me, God is my Father. All three of them are different meanings to me. The Holy Ghost guides me. He tells me, hey, person over there needs to be prayed on. That person had loneliness and depression. You know what that's like. Go share your story. I'm sitting here listening to Pastor Tim preach, and I'm hearing this direction. Hey, there's a girl over there with loneliness, depression. And I'm like, I can't concentrate. I'm listening. I was really trying to get some God. But all of a sudden, there was no Danielle and no John. And you said the words, someone else might be praying as well. Boom. I knew, oh, I have something to do. And then I had to do it. Sometimes I don't even get in tune, but I still have something to do for the Lord. The Lord's still going to use you even if you're not tuned. If he's called you to do something, you're going to do it. Even if you don't want to. And if you don't believe me, ask the one who was in the well or the whale. He ran. He's like, I ain't doing that. And then he got in there. And you know what happened next? He still made it. He still did it. And then he sat there and was like upset about it the whole time. He is so great, isn't he? I don't know if I would say that. I mean, the reason I say that is because I wouldn't admit that. Can you think? He's sitting there. The tree is beside him. He's like, oh, man. And now you gave me shade? The funny part is they were just as bad as Solomon and Gomorrah. And he knew it. He was like, no, they don't deserve you. I do. They don't. It's not even in my notes. See, we're talking. I told you I was going to talk, not read, not teach, not preach. I don't know what we're doing, but we're doing it. Just like I didn't know what I was going to do. And when I got over to her, I said, hey, you feel loneliness, don't you? You feel depression, don't you? You want to kill yourself. All these things started flowing at me. And then she said, yeah, she's been here 3 weeks in a row. I don't want to point her out. I'm sorry if I did something wrong by saying this. What I'm trying to share with you is God will use you at the right time, at the right place, no matter what your situation is. I wasn't in a good mood that day, but God still used me. Last Sunday, I was in a horrible mood. I was depressed from the neck down. And the reason I was over something stupid because I misunderstood something, and all I had to do was think. But the devil snuck in and got me. And I believed those lies. And when he started telling me, Jay, you're ugly, you're lonely, you're not, no one likes you, I go, oh, how did you get here? Then I realized what happened. I let him sneak in. What house was I giving Jesus at that moment? Probably not the cardboard box, probably the trailer. Because I wasn't giving Jesus my heart at that moment. I should have given him the mansion. I love giving him the mansion. That's when I'm having good times. I want to give him the mansion when I'm having bad times too. It just doesn't always work that way. Because we flip-flop. Not because we're flip-flopping as Christians. We flip-flop because of our emotions. We need to live on faith. Faith should drive us, not our emotions. And I'm, again, not even looking at notes at this point. And it doesn't matter because I know. And they feel real. Yeah. They feel like that's the truth. But sometimes your feelings aren't the truth. Right. Sometimes you believe feelings are real when they're not even real. It's what the devil is making you think. I can just flip these pages. I don't even know where I'm at in my notes. But see, oh, yeah, I'm glad we got to this point. When you're going through a storm, you may ask yourself, why am I in this storm? Why is this happening to me? That's what you're probably saying. You need to ask yourself, how did you get out of the last one? You got out of the last one just fine, and you were doing great until that storm came. So it had to have been something. Let's think about it. God got you out of the last one. He's going to get you out of this one too. But we forget that God has already done something with us. So I say take some time this week and think about what the Lord has really done for you. You know, think about all the stuff he's done for you. Things that you can't remember now, but you'll remember because you can ask him. Say, Lord, I don't remember what you've done for me. I'm sorry. I know this and this, but was there anything I forgot? He'll reveal it to you. Or somehow it'll pop up in your memory. Maybe it'll show up on Facebook. Maybe it just so happened to be this week that God did something amazing for you. And then you go, oh, yeah. See, that's one thing good about Facebook. It doesn't matter about what... When you're, you know, it doesn't matter about what you're good at or what you can do. It only matters about you surrendering your heart. You have to surrender to God, and then God can really work in your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. My life has changed since October 22nd. A lot of you have seen me grow, and I feel like that I had a little boost. And the reason I think that's happening is because God needed me to be where I am now. You know, I had a situation in my life that's terrible. And I had the most amazing serenity. He really made me feel calm. Like I'm standing on rock, like it says. That's what he did for me. People are saying, oh, aren't you upset? Yeah, but I'm not crying. I'm not sad. Because I gave it to God. When you surrender yourself, all your problems get surrendered to. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know that God was doing this with me. So the people around me are falling apart. And I'm there. We're going to be okay. And I'm picking this one up. We're going to be fine. And I'm putting them together and I'm hugging them. And I'm like, we got this. I was confident because I knew God had it. When I said we, I meant God. Because I can't do it on my own. And then people, when they find out what I've been through, are like, aren't you, like, at all? Why are you acting so calm? I was like, because I have God. Like, any situation you go through, you got God. So you should yeah, it's terrible when things happen. Like that thing that happened in Baltimore recently. That's not cool. But we have God. And we have to pray for those people. And I know we have because I've been watching the prayer chain on Facebook. I love that. I love to read how you guys post praise reports and prayer requests. And I don't write much in there because I don't want to disturb what's happening. But when I do write something, I write encouraging words. Or I might say a prayer request. But I kind of stop praying for myself. I don't have any needs that I want prayed for. And the things God has already provided me, I didn't even have to ask for. It's really nice to have that feeling of, how can I help someone else, God? What is it that I need to do for them? It's not about me. I'm not even selfish. I'm just like, I got you. I'll be your helper, Lord. Whatever you want, send me, please. I beg them. Say, what can I do today? What can I do? Send someone my way. I have this gift from God that I haven't talked about with a lot of people. Some y'all know, some don't know. But I get this kind of feeling from people. And it's not like I could just look at you and go, oh, I know what you're feeling. It's when God reveals it. And when I see something on someone, I instantly start praying. If I'm at Roll Farms, open the door for somebody and they walk by and I go, oh, they have a problem with cigarettes. It's easy to tell when you can smell it. But I pray for them. And I pray for people, even if I don't know what the problem is, but I go, man, they seem to be having a bad day. I start praying for them. I just enjoy having that opportunity. We all have that opportunity to give. They don't even have to know you're praying for them. I love it. But here's something about when you are going through problems. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He loves you and he wants your problems. It says it right there. But you can't have 7 if you're not doing 6. So let's go and look at number 6. 1 Peter 5:6. I've already said this, so we're going to say it again. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you in due time. Then cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I feel like all of that is one sentence. And it should be. Humble yourself. So let's talk about 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way that you were younger, submit yourself. Submit yourself to your elders. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. It's right there. Humbleness. Show mercy. Humble. God's glory. God loves you. All these things that we've been talking about tonight has all been tuning yourself with God, how to treat others. You know, it's the things that you probably already know. But, you know, it's okay. It's not bad to be reminded. God has more than just one way to win in your life. You may think God works, and you may think, I'm supposed to do this, or this is supposed to happen. But how many times has God done something in your life, and you're like, where'd that come from? How did that even happen? That's a miracle. I knew that when I was sitting back there. Doctors can't explain what happened to me. You know, it's amazing. Basically, I'm getting to the end of my message. It's not bad. 8:15. I feel like we started, so that's an hour. For someone who hasn't preached that many times. I used to preach to children, and I thought this was easy. So Adam and Eve, you know what I mean? Or I'd be like, Moses did this. And then when we were younger, my dad was the children's pastor, and we would do like mini skits where the kids would act out the different stories. Like the one time, you just talked about it, where they were given the money. And you had those preachers, and they're waiting. And we have kids walking around with these big dollar bills, and they're waving them around like this, and they're dropping the money in, and the kids are giggling and laughing. And then we would dress up one of the kids as an old woman. Male, female, didn't matter. We had fun with it. Probably not acceptable nowadays. And they would just be like this, and they would act this out. They would just be real, like, acting, and we would get into it, and they would take two pennies and go, boop, boop, and just keep walking. And then we would have someone play Jesus, and he would say, this person has given more than all of you. You know what's cool about that? We can give more than what we see the world do. Those big churches have all those people in it. Don't have what Gateway has. You know what we have? Real love for each other. Real connection with God. We have the Wednesday night crew. That's what we are, the Wednesday night crew. I know we're not a gang. We already talked about that. I said I wanted to make t-shirts. I was thinking we should get t-shirts that says something like Stan's Army, but no one likes this idea but me.
I think Wednesday is the upper room.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It feels so different being here on a Wednesday because the Holy Ghost moves. He moves on Sunday because, I mean, we've seen it. But it's so special to be here on a Wednesday night. It's where I look forward to the most. It's Sunday mornings is great. I love playing music for God. You know, I love it. There's something amazing about, I've been doing it for 30 years. I was 12 years old when I learned how to play piano, and I really enjoy serving God that way. It's definitely my calling. I've done it. I know it's my calling. I'll do it for the rest of my life if that's what he wants. So all about God's will, not mine. I'll do whatever he wants whenever he wants it, as long as I'm willing. I don't want a crow to go off. You know what I mean? I don't want to deny him. You know, that story when he said, I'll never deny you. Well, that's how I feel right now. So I just want to take every moment I got with God in case I make a mistake in the future, which I don't think I'm going to. Because I don't want even the temptations that I have. You don't know how many temptations that I get now that I've turned my life over. It's crazy. If you saw what I rejected, you would know I'm doing good. You know what I mean? It's so funny. I laugh at it now. I'm like, devil, you don't even know how to mess my mind up now because it's changed. You don't know what you're doing, devil. Oh, back off. You got to tell him to back off sometimes. By the way, I've already closed my book. So we can end this as soon as you guys feel necessary. And I think right now is a good time to end this. But anybody got questions or want to make a comment? Apparently not. Okay.
When you said that, when you did the story of the widow's mite, and then you said that's Gateway, we got something those big churches don't. I wanted to say, 2 pennies?
No, but you're right. Maybe it is 2 pennies. Some of y'all might need to pay your tithe and offering, because if you're not, it's a sin. We need some more money. But you know, it's funny. But there's a lot of churches right now that are closing, that are in real big troubles. There's things happening all over the place. And it's not just in Delaware. It's like everywhere. But Gateway is still here, strong, living. We still got things to do here. We're doing amazing things. That clothes thing that you guys doing, I looked down there. I was like, whoa, it looks like a thrift shop down here. It's amazing. Thank you so much for what you do. You know, there's ministries that people don't even realize, like picking up trash outside. That's a calling. I know. I got that. Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, I was being told when I do end this that I should pray, and that was what I was going to do anyway. So, but he's got my back. That's what I was trying to tell you guys about, Jonathan. He's got you. So I want to end like this. The Lord is working. He's moving. Things are happening in this church. Do you want to sit there and watch it happen, or do you want to be a part of it? I'm a part of it. I know a lot of you already are. And I'm not out here accusing you of anything. If anything I said to you offended you or upset at you, this is not my purpose. I'm just sharing what he did for me and how I feel. So if anybody's like, I don't like what you said, well, we could talk about it and maybe we could figure out what I said, and I can apologize if it's something I didn't actually mean to say it like that, but I meant this, because you heard me all night mixing up my words and I'm dyslexic even though I'm not. But I haven't been tested, but words do look funny to me sometimes. The thing is, people are funny. Yes. But the thing is, we're a family. And I love you guys. And I'm trying to get to know every one of you. And if I tried to add you on Facebook, but it wasn't you, I'm sorry. I thought I added him, and it wasn't him. It was someone else, but he said, yeah, he added me. Now I'm wondering who I added. But it's okay, because they knew half of you. So it's still got to be someone who went here. So it's fine. We'll talk about that later, Pastor Tim. But,
so many people that used to go here.
Yeah. You know how many friends you have that I'm friends with? I'm like, oh, you know that person? Yeah. Some of y'all are the same way. I'm like, I'll look and I'll be adding you. But this is off topic. So we're going to go here with this. All I ask is, if there's anyone in here who does not think they're going to go to heaven, I want you to know that you have a chance tonight before we leave. Every church that I've ever been to for Stein Highway, when they end in the Church of God, they've always ended with that as an option. And I do like that. I know that we don't do that here all the time, but we do offer prayer. So I do want to offer prayer, because if there's somebody who wants to be prayed for whatever reason, you're more than welcome to. I'll pray for you. We have a prayer team here, some wonderful people who are led by God to pray. So it's your choice if you guys want to pray, or we could just do it here and I can pray and then that'll be the end of it. So if anybody wants to be prayed on or prayed with, you can raise your hand. If not, I'll go ahead and end service. Wonderful. I'm glad you guys are in a good place. That means God has done something already in your life. So I just praise God and thank him for this service. Everybody bow your heads. Dear Lord, you are a mighty, wonderful God. You are my God. You are their God. You're the God of Gateway, the God of many wonderful churches out there. But you're still the same God no matter what church that you visit or what church we go to. You're the same God. The same God in the Bible and the same God today. The same one who healed me. The same one who's been in their lives. Lord, I ask that you touch them, give them some wisdom, or maybe give them some strength this week to fight the temptations, fight the devil off, and just give them a black eye, because we're tired of them and we don't want to believe his lies anymore. But we just do honor you and praise you, Lord, because you are the one who saved us. And we give you all the glory and the honor. Amen.